My name is Dawn Blyenberg. I'm the Assistant Director for the Center for Public Health Continuing Education at the University of Albany School of Public Health. I got that all out. And co-presenting with me today is Linda Lodato. She's our program coordinator for the Nurse Training on Immunization Project, Nurse TIP. This is a cooperative agreement with the CDC. Our mission for Nurse TIP was to provide relevant training and information to nurses in order to improve vaccination rates, not only in the general public, but also in nursing as well. It's a distance learning project, and again, on a variety of immunization topics, and it's technology-based. Again, it's all online. And why did we choose nurses? We chose nurses because we know they're the first point of contact in a visit. They have a considerable influence on the health of a community, and they play an integral role in the immunization programs that we have. Nurse TIP consists of webcasts and webinars. And a little bit, a webcast is like a newscast online. And if it's archived, it's called a web stream. We get many people who call and ask, oh, you know, I want a copy of or I want the link to the such and such webinar. And our support staffer will scratch our head and go, oh, she means the webcast, and we'll send them to that. So a webcast is a newscast, so to speak, and then we also have webinars. All of our programs and training that we offer are archived or recorded and available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everything that we provide is free of charge. We have a variety of training programs from our Center for Public Health Continuing Education. We have a large award with the Federal Department of Labor, and people continually ask, how much are you charging? It's free. Everything we provide is free. It's available 24/7. And in addition, we're approved to provide nursing contact hours, medical education hours, and CHES, which is a certified health education specialist. Those hours are also free. So let me repeat, everything is free, including the hours. So don't call me and don't email me. It's free. And Linda will go into more detail as to exactly what Nurse TIP or Nurse Training on Immunization, what those trainings are and what they include. So who's our audience? Our target audience are nurses working in public health settings, medical offices, clinics and hospitals, and healthcare centers and any other community agency. Although we say nurses, our target is nurses, it doesn't mean we don't have physicians or registered dietitians or health educators also taking part and viewing our trainings. Our project, we've had great success, and I think what makes it successful is we are out of the University of Albany School of Public Health. Our School of Public Health is different in that it is the first School of Public Health that was born, so to speak, out of the State Department of Health. So our School of Public Health is a very close association with the New York State Department of Health, so it does open some doors for us. And it being part of this grant is part of our Center for Public Health Continuing Education, we already have an established reputation for distance learning. If you've ever heard of the Third Thursday Breakfast Program or Public Health Live, or it's called T2B2, for over 10 years we've had, it used to be satellite broadcast, but, you know, budget cuts and everything, and people not having the ability to actually have a satellite dish and local health departments being able to fund it to maintain those, we moved to webcast, so things are out now done on the Internet. But those have been happening for 10 years, and that has sort of open the door for this training program, and as that has grown over 10 years, we have a database of over 40,000 practitioners that we market to and contact. Our target is typically New York State, but we reach national and international audiences. And how do we come up with our topics, and how do we connect with the immunization community? We have an advisory committee for this training project. Again, we work very close with our state health department. Dr. Deb Blog, who's the director of the Bureau of Immunization, has been wonderful working with us, and the two nurses. Working very closely with our local health departments in New York State, collaborating with our ERA partners, who were also funded out of this award, and then working with a wonderful immunization community. And I'm going to have Linda.
Hi, everyone. I'm Linda Lodato, and I'm the project coordinator of Nurse TIP. So how did Nurse TIP connect with the nurses? We did it in a variety of ways, and we found all of them to be important. We did a national survey. We held focus groups, established our website, email and phone calls, and nurses are always surprised when we call them back or email them. I didn't expect an answer. Thank you so much for being in touch. They really appreciate the personal contact. Through local and regional meetings, Dawn and I attend and share the information about Nurse TIP. And as Dawn mentioned, our database, we're able to customize our e-blasts for particular programs to reach our audience. Nurses responded in a big way. We also evaluated their learning needs, and they were very eager to participate and happy that they were asked. And then the information that we gained from these methods guided us as we designed our programs. One of the first webcasts we offered was Protecting Your Vaccine, Protecting Your Patients, with Patricia Beckenhop from CDC, and I believe she'll be presenting this week, and Dr. Deborah Blog, director of our bureau in New York State. This webcast was very well received, and some people thought ahead of time, are you sure about this topic? It seems like it's an awfully dry one. It was very well received. We had an initial 2,600 viewers, and the evaluations were very positive. So we took a look. We decided to do 6-month impact eval to see what a difference we made in the long run. And it's no surprise, since nursing is all about trust, that 95% were able to describe 6 months later the impact of the loss of public trust due to vaccine storage and handling errors, as well as the financial costs and the risk to patients from those same errors. We asked new actions taken as a result of the webcast. And you can see from this chart, 14% reported fewer errors, 11% experienced a decrease in vaccine waste in terms of dollars, 17% for the first time designated a vaccine coordinator and a backup, 11% started a training program, 28% revised the current one, 17% added messaging, something as simple as messaging around the equipment, and then 41% updated their vaccine management plan. You can also look at this chart and see that a good percentage of them changed or purchased equipment. 37% rearranged vaccines in the refrigerator. That simple step made a big difference in their daily practice, and 21% used water bottles for the first time correctly. 13% changed the daily temperature log that they were using to prevent errors. So we saw great results at 6 months from this one webcast. A second one that we did was based on the CASE method. Some of you might be familiar with Allison Singer from the Autism Science Foundation. Nurses were asking for communication techniques. They're challenged every day with discussions with parents about their concerns about vaccine. For this webcast, we experienced 6,000 viewers. So we increased from 1,000 to 6,000 live viewers for this webcast. We did an evaluation survey at 3 months. And if you add up the figures, about 84-86% use the CASE method at least once a week. In addition, 88% recommended it to a staff person, 33 referred others to our website, 24 incorporated information about autism. They felt better able to discuss it with parents. And you can see the remainder of the results. So what did we learn? Well, what everybody knows, that nurses are very busy. Timing is very important. They told us Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 12 to 1 Eastern time was the best time to reach most of the nurses, especially on the West Coast. Get to the point. I think we've heard that before today. Give us the scientific facts and the studies to back them up. It wasn't enough to present the information. Nurses really wanted to read it themselves and to digest it. We like handouts. We've heard this many times. And beforehand, please. Nurses want to be able to print them out and have something to refer to and take notes on during the presentation. Q&A is very important. They want to be able to ask questions, and they also learn from their colleagues asking questions. Nurses are also telling us that communicating with patients is a high priority. That was the number one topic that was identified for learning. Once again, give us practical applications of science. So we're following through on that with the CASE method feedback. They were asking us for actual examples. So in volume 2, of our DVD, which I'll mention in a second, we're going to be including actual role-playing. They also share information, so if nurses find it useful, they're going to tell other nurses. They will spread the word. They also are asking for more, and it needs to be easy to find and easy to access. What we didn't expect was that we found out that over half of nurses, depending on where they worked and what state, don't have access to computers at work. That was astonishing to us. We weren't anticipating that. Now, it could be that they sit in a room in a large group and watch the webcast, but they don't have, individually, they don't have access to the internet. So all of these wonderful resources that we've talked about are great, but many nurses will do this on their own time and their own computer at home. We've also learned in rural parts of the country, in remote areas, nurses don't have computers. So we responded by duplicating three of our most popular webcasts into DVD format. They were in the back of the room. If we run out, we'll be at a table tomorrow, table 110. They're available for you to pick up, and the more you pick up, the fewer we'll have to bring home. So we appreciate you stopping by, particularly for those nurses that don't have access to the internet. Our next program will be next month, April 21st, Dr. Rand from the University of Rochester Medical Center, School of Medicine, and she'll be talking about adolescent and pre-adolescent immunizations. She's also speaking, I'm not sure if it's tomorrow or the next day, but she'll be here at the conference. And here's our contact information. We'd be happy to answer any questions or address any issues that you have. And I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Before we open the floor to questions, I'd just like to thank all of our presenters one more time for wonderful presentations and wonderful information. So thank you very much. And right now we have about 10 minutes or so for questions. I'd like to open the floor to the questions. If you do have questions, either specifically for any of our presenters or in general about training needs or gaps or trainings you found or things that work, please bring them up here to the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies. Excellent. I'm a local health department coordinator, so this is the issue I deal with all the time, so thank you. I have several questions. First, the reception by the educational community about what you're trying to do. We do annual in-servicing every spring, and it's very labor-intensive, and a lot of people have requested more online training and so forth. Little health department, we don't have the resources to do that, and we've been wanting to go into the schools and have, but, you know, what is their reception of this information? Are they wanting to incorporate this? Is it just a matter of giving them the tools so that they can do it? I mean, I realize that their curriculum is very full already.
I think the way that we created these modules, the three of us that wrote these and worked on them have over 50 years of experience in nursing education programs, because the past experience has been that these students are coming in, they need platform information and not such a wealth of details. Mm-hmm. And so far our reception has been very good.
Okay. So if I were to take your information, say, reach out to them and...
Absolutely.
Because you're right. I mean, if I could get them on the front end. But the other thing is that a few of you have just nursing curriculums, and my other part of the question was, and some of them are just pre-service, right? So can an existing nurse go online and participate, and can an MA go online and participate even though they may not get your certificates?
Yes, they can. An existing nurse can go online and take all six modules and receive continuing education. And the nursing continuing education is often very strict about what is basic undergraduate program and what is continuing. There have been so many changes in immunizations that they could have completed their program 10 years ago, and it's quite different today. So it does constitute new information, you know, year to year.
Thank you.
Let me let there may have been more of your question about.
No, I think that's good. And then for Easy Izzy,
our target audience is, I mean, we did it in mind with medical assistants because they're in California most of the
time. And we have, and that's our primary clinical staff is MA. So are they, but you're not give, you have a certificate, but it's not a continuing ed?
Not a continuing education. Because okay. Once again, we were going with the MA in mind, but, you know, now the usage is 50-50. It's MAs and nurses in state and out of state.
And I realize, oh, there's no one else. I'll keep asking questions. So for Easy Izzy, we love your site, so please take that back. Thank you. I send people all the time, and I'd like to get to the point of sending people there throughout the year and somehow using your certification piece to come back to me somehow at my local health. And I'm from Washington State. So my question is, do you know much about how your California department is integrating or being asked to cooperate with other states and how we might be able to, because I mean, I realize there's a little differences between some things, but generally I know you're based on BFC standards and practice standards.
I predicted that question, so I asked Leslie. So I'm going to be a member of the audience. So what if they ask this? And so she says that's a common question they get because, once again, 50 states are using it. And she said, unfortunately, the way the LMS is set up, we can actually only track within in-state. We cannot actually share that information because that means that we would be managing information for every particular user and, you know, maybe individual organizations versus state. So we cannot do that.
I just wonder if maybe the CDC could help facilitate that to where, I don't know what an LMS, I don't understand that LMS. Is that like a software?
It's actually the back end. It's like a database. So all of that information on the user, on the registration, the pre-test, post-test scores, everything about the lesson, it's set up in a database in the back end. So
okay.
For us to be able to slice and dice that information, we would actually have to have one full-time position to see, you know, how many users from your organization, from your state, have completed their lesson, have registered, so on and so forth.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's my wish for the future. And I'll thank you.
First of all, I want to say I think they're all fabulous programs. And I'm Mary Beth Kosloff, a tracker from Suffolk County in New York. Each one of the programs is complementary because there's something special and something a little different about each one of them. So I think each one of the programs would be of benefits to nurses. And I just want to, I mean, I probably sound like a broken record, but the ANA has the other one that they did too, the Bringing Immunity to Every Community, that Every Child by Two did, and that's www.anaimmunize.org. And there's a little bit something different to that. But if I was the person in charge of teaching the nurses, I would say you have to really see all of them, because I really think that each one of your projects, and I think that's what's really great about all your projects, they're all complementary to each other and really giving nurses all the education that they really needed. I'm an old lady. I went to diploma school. And, you know, we learned all this, you know, things, of course, changed. But we had that in diploma school. There are several nursing schools in Nassau and Suffolk counties. They don't teach immunizations. It's a gloss over. So what you are providing to the nursing community is just invaluable. And I want to say thank you.
I just wanted to add that in our program, we also give people a handout and have on our slides references to all these other programs and assume that they are great resources for people to go to.
I had a question for Claudia and the others, too. Can you talk a little bit about the IT aspect of what you're doing? And I know that the content is one aspect, but then the IT and the implementation for actually getting the continuing education credits and those sort of things, how does that work?
So
how is it set up? And
yeah, so we don't have continuing education, but the IT aspect, I mean, it's upon completion, the system automatically generates that certificate, and they can just print it.
But what's that system? Who do you work with?
Sweetbrush. It was the company that actually pretty much took all of our content and put it in a website.
So you had funding to work with a company to develop that?
A lot of efforts went into in-house to actually get all of the material ready so that they wouldn't, if they would have developed everything from the ground up, we would have no funding because it would be, so there was a lot of in-house efforts.
And what, so Sweetbrush, what kind of company is that? It's a
e-learning.
E-learning,
yeah,
okay.
And they do different things.
Okay, thank you.
I can answer that too. For our site, it's very easy after the webcast. whoever would like the continuing ed credits would take a post-test and evaluation, and then they can print out the certificate immediately. I'm glad you did raise IT questions, though, because if you do a program like this, you should expect that there will be some issues signing on. Bandwidths are different, so our admin staff is prepared every time we do one of these that they're going to be getting some questions and phone calls.
Our database was created by the staff within the IT department at University of Oklahoma. We have an extensive three campus and an extensive online learning system. We also have two licenses. We went through Suddenly Smart as part of the interactive learning software and Engage.
Thank you all very much. My name is Tara Reevy, and I come from the Military Vaccine Agency. And I actually do what you do, but for Department of Defense. So I've got a lot of people all over, and we do kind of a little bit of everything. We do hands-on training, webcasts, online training. And I was coming up to ask Claudia, who built your high-end? Was that the Sweetbush? Did the avatars and all that? Because we use the Adobe LMS right now for our DoD folks, and so everybody can get in. But I would love to take it to the next level.
It was a combination of our in-house information and education, developing all the graphics and, you know, even testing what Elena would look like. So they actually mocked it up and tested it. And it was also Leslie Hayden, who's an instructional design, helping us to get the content in all of our programmatics mind to that concise system. And then basically was working with Sweetbush to take all of that and then put it on that platform.
Oh, so they put it on the platform, but they didn't make the little people.
They didn't, no. Okay. It was pretty much...
Because right now, that's me. You know, I'm making the slides and I'm doing everything. So I think that that's fantastic. And I would say if anyone's interested in anthrax or smallpox or flu, which are big business for Department of Defense, we host all of that. We do webcasts, and we have a lot of stuff that's archived, and it's open to anyone. And we're at vaccines.mil, so we're happy to take anyone to that as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just going to have one more quick question right here.
Rita Harding with Indian Health, and again, echo that this is just a wonderful thing so everybody isn't recreating the wheel in fragmented ways. But was wondering, or maybe just kind of a hint or whatever, as you move through this, you've given people a tremendous foundation. But has anybody given consideration to, say, a module for nurse managers to look at vaccine errors if and when they do occur, because they still do occur even with the best nurses, and not in the punitive model to find out who did it wrong, but say in the root cause analysis model, everybody getting together, talking it through, what were the contributing factors, how can we prevent it in the future, as sort of almost a final chapter in this.
I do know that a good part of our audience are nurse managers, and we get quite a bit of feedback from them. So they're the ones that are asking for specific programs, asking for not just the information, but how to interpret it on a daily basis, but following up specifically for a program. That's an interesting concept, so I'll take that back.